As you turn tonight back to the 20th chapter of the book of John, we want to finish up there. Have you ever been given a job and then been held accountable for the doing of that job? It's almost a daily thing, isn't it? I remember as a boy, when I was about 11 or 12, growing up on the farm, Daddy somehow got a hold of one of the very first rotor tillers that I'd ever seen in my life. And this rotor tiller was a chain drive. Now, I don't know if any of you know what that means, but that means is there's no give to it. Once you put it in gear, it was Katie bar the door and hang on. It took off. And yes, sir, it was. It was. When I was about 11 or 12, growing up on the farm, during the summer, Daddy would go to his day job. Daddy had a public job as a butcher, and I was left to work the farm. That was my job. And then when Daddy come home, we did chores together. And if there was enough daylight left, then I got to play or go fishing or hunting that evening. But he always had a list of things that he wanted done that day. The day came when Daddy woke me up early that morning and he said, "Today I want you to take the old rotor tiller out and I want you to plow out the middles of the tobacco patch." Now, growing up in the hills in East Tennessee, we had a tobacco allotment, and that's why the 1967 commercial this morning that I shared with you, like father, like son, that was very traumatic because our end of the year paycheck came when we took our tobacco harvest to market. And if it was not a good year, we didn't have Christmas gifts that year. If it was a good year, then we had toys to go along with a new pair of shoes and a new pair of blue jeans and a shirt or two. And so working that tobacco was important to us on the farm. And I'll never forget that day. It came late in the morning that I'd finished all the chores, had finished breakfast, and I went and I got the rotor tiller and got it started. And I was a young slip of a thing and just smaller than most guys my age. And I grabbed a hold of it, and I just pointed it at the tobacco patch, which was probably about 300 yards away from where the rotor tiller was stored. So by the time I got to the patch, it had done beat me up, just going across the pasture field and everything. But I got there, and I got it all lined up, and I revved that rascal up. I reached up, and I grabbed the handlebar and pulled the lever, and it took off. Now, I had it lined up good, And the key was if you walked behind it and you could pick up, it wouldn't get away from you. You picked up on it, and it forced it to dig. Now, if you ever, your arms ever got tired and dropped it, boy, it was off to the races. It'd get up on top of the ground, and it'd be gone. And, you know, then you trip, and it's dragging you across. That's a whole nother story. So anyway, I hadn't gone 5 feet in that old cloddy ground there on our hillside farm when I felt that thing jerk some way, somehow, and I felt something slap me on the ankles. And I looked down, and that rotor tiller had dug out, and where it had got it, I don't know, but it had dug out a copperhead snake and an egg. I don't know what that snake was doing, whether that was its egg or it had done found an egg and it was trying to eat it. But all I know, about the time I was barefoot, okay, now this is Tennessee, back in the 60s and on the farm, and so I was barefoot, bare-legged, my blue jean cutoffs, they ended somewhere about there. So all I had between me and that snake was dirt, and it was dirt already on my legs. And that snake wrapped around my legs. Two things happened at the same time. One, I turned the rotor tiller loose, which means it took off. 2, I levitated out of the ground. I didn't jump. I don't know what picked me up, but I just levitated just about that high off the ground, and I landed somewhere about 10 feet away. Well, the rotor tiller's booking it for the other end of the tobacco patch. I'm going the other direction because I'm hunting for something to kill a snake. And when I finally, the best I can remember is somewhere I come up with an old cedar fence post. I don't know where I snagged it from, but I come back with an old cedar fence post only to find that copperhead snake gone. Now that's bad. That's bad. And so I thought about it for a second. Meanwhile, the rotor tiller is doing its best to get to the next farm over. And so I decided to run around the tobacco patch, and I caught it where it had got hung up in a fence row over there, and I got it stopped and shut off. And when Joey come back to himself, I said, "That's all the plowing I'm doing today." So I went back to the house. I went back to the house. That was my chore for the day. Daddy got home about 4 o'clock that evening. He made a beeline straight to me. And he said, "Boy, how did that plowing go?" I said, "Well, Daddy, the plowing didn't go." And he kind of started swelling up. I don't know if y'all ever seen a man swell up. But the air started going into him and it wasn't coming out. And I knew things were about to get bad. And so I looked and I said, "Daddy, before you get me, I need to tell you what happened." And he let just enough air out to say, "Okay, tell me." And I told him about the snake. And he deflated. Because a snake was the only thing my daddy was afraid of. Daddy would have levitated as well, only he would have left his shoes on the ground. He'd have levitated. But he was about to hold me accountable for what he had told me to do. Now, I want to tell you that story just because, first of all, it's just us. You know, we can't really go out on Facebook and public social media and all that other stuff and talk about being growing up on a tobacco raising farm, you know, and all of that sort of stuff. And so I could share that with us, just us tonight, because we left one verse untouched this morning in the text I read. I don't know if you caught it. It was the last verse, the 23rd verse there in John chapter 20, beginning in verse 19, going down through verse 23. "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. When he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost." And here's the verse I want you to really key in on tonight. In the King James, it says in verse 23, "Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained." Let's bow our heads. Father, I pray tonight for a clarity of thought and a discernment of your will within your spirit, within your scripture, within your service. that, Father, we might understand that you've given us a job to do. That, Lord, you have done everything that was necessary and continues to be necessary for us to accomplish your will in this place. And Father, I know that tonight I'm preaching and I'm speaking to the core group of Three Rivers Fellowship. I know tonight, Lord, that those who are here are those, as Brother Lee's already mentioned, they're the ones that's going to always be here. They're the ones who see the church through during the times when it is unpleasant or inconvenient. So, Father, I pray tonight that as we study your word together, that, Lord, we might glean something, an understanding, if you will, of the call and the response you've placed upon our hearts and lives. Thank you, Father. Thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. That 23rd verse is about forgiveness. It's about forgiveness. Now let me take you to it'd be the first couple of slides, Mitch. First of all, John 8:24 tells us that only Jesus can forgive sins. A lot of folks, and even one major denomination has taken the 23rd verse and brought it to understand that somehow, some way, you and I have usurped an authority that belongs to God. That it is our place that we can forgive sins. That if somehow we have a priestly ability over others. Now there's one serious problem with that. The person who forgives an offense has to be the person who is offended against. A proxy on behalf of the offended has no authority to forgive. You and I can't forgive a sin against the Father. Only God can forgive sins. Amen. And by proxy, Jesus Christ. Only Jesus has that authority. John 8:24 says, I said there unto you, now this is therefore unto you, this is Jesus speaking to the Pharisees, that you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am He. Now catch this. Jesus says, if you don't believe, He's speaking to Pharisees, if you don't believe that I am who I say I am, you shall die in your sins. Jesus tells us in Luke 7:47, something else about forgiveness. Those who are forgiven much respond to that forgiveness greater than those who are forgiven little. He's speaking here of the lady who came and anointed him at supper time. In Luke 7:47, Jesus says, wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Then he tells us in Matthew 18:22, you remember when Peter came to the Lord and said, how much must I forgive? If my brother offends me, he says, is seven times? That seems extravagant. Seven times can I be offended by my brother? And seven times he says to the Lord, seven times, isn't that enough? Look what Jesus says there in Matthew 18:22. Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Now, I always call into question my math, But if I'm not mistaken, 7 times 70 is 490 times. That's a whole lot more than fingers and toes for most of us. And what Jesus is making the point of is that forgiveness, when it is honest forgiveness, is unlimited. But then, this background, I want to draw it to what we know of as the Lord's Prayer. Do you remember that? Do you remember that? It says, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But it reaches that point where he says that we ought to pray and forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. Forgive us what we owe you, Father, when we forgive those who owe us. Out of the whole prayer, now catch this, out of the whole prayer there in Matthew, only the topic of forgiveness gets Jesus' commentary. Look at verses 14 and 15. Jesus says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." So now, as we look at verse 23, we need to understand the significance of what Jesus is saying. I put up there, let's see, is there another slide, Mitch, after this one? Yeah. One of the most frustrating situations you'll ever find yourself in is to be responsible for something and yet not be given either the ability or the authority to accomplish that responsibility. Now come back to John 20. Come back to John 20. We find responsibility there in verse 21. It was the text that I preached from this morning. "Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." Responsibility is the duty or obligation to undertake or accomplish a task successfully. When you're held responsible, if we're not careful, we'll look at that verse, that verse that says, "Even as the Father hath sent me, so send I you." We won't intentionally hear the responsibility He's placing on us. When we look at Jesus, we're not surprised that the Lord never took His eyes off of the cross. He never, ever took His eyes off the cross. But then Jesus placed that responsibility on you and me. I preached for almost 45 long, hard minutes this morning. Skip, you should have been here. You should have been here. You could have timed me. You said, "That's enough. That's enough." I preached long and hard this morning with a singular point: to get over the point, the theme, if you will, that what Jesus did for God, we ought to do for Jesus. That's our responsibility. That's our responsibility. Skip, we were talking earlier about responsibility. The servant who comes into the household, having worked in the field all day long, and the servant walks into the household, and the master of the household tells the servant, "Fix my supper, and once you have fixed my supper, then and only then may you sit down and eat." And we read that and we think, well, how thoughtless how mean-spirited, how uncaring. And yet as we discuss that together, that is the reasonable expectation for a slave. What are you and I to the Father if nothing more than adopted slaves? Bought in the market, the price of Jesus' blood. It is our reasonable service. We ought to be responsible in this. Jesus was saying, even as the Father hath sent me, so send I you. This morning I stopped at that point. But I've got to tell you, there's more to the story. You see, if you're given the responsibility, but you're not given what is necessary to accomplish that responsibility, that would be the most unfair thing. And so Jesus goes on. I want you to look at the second verse, the 22nd verse, I'm sorry. It says, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive you the Holy Ghost. The first thing, once you accept a responsibility, is that you better have the ability to fulfill that responsibility. Okay? If Jesus is going to put on us the responsibility of continuing and fulfilling what he came to do, we need the same ability as Jesus. One of the scary things for the world is when they meet a Holy Ghost-filled believer. That's our ability. It's not through my authority, not through my power, not through my ability, not through what Joe can do. It is what God can do through us.
Amen.
It is what you and I can accomplish when we allow God Himself to take all the credit. One of the sweetest things is that Penny and I have kind of moved on up into, we're in 2 Kings now in our Bible reading for the year. And one of the things that we've begun to kind of laugh about is every time that Israel and Judah, they're in the separated kingdom. Now, every time they get a king and he gets to strut in his stuff, he kind of maybe wins a battle or two, and he wants to take credit for winning the battles. And just about that time, God kind of takes a big step back, leaves him out there by himself, and you know what happens. Is that Israel king or that Judah king all of a sudden finds himself without the supporting presence of God. I've actually seen that at work. I've actually seen when we were on the farm, we had a little Chihuahua dog named Buffy. And Buffy thought she could whoop anything on the farm as long as we were standing there watching. In fact, I think I've told y'all the story about the St. Bernard dog. Have I told y'all the story about the St. Bernard dog that came onto the farm one day and it run me and my little sister out of the pasture field? We'd never seen a dog the size of a pony before. And we jumped the fence and got to the house. Mama heard us coming. And she opened the screen door, and as we went in, as she had held that door, and we went in, Buffy went running out. And sound like a pound and a half grizzly bear. And I mean, she went busting out, and she was just going to just wear that St. Bernard dog up. And halfway to the St. Bernard dog, she turned to make sure she had an audience, and the screen door shut. And in that moment, she was done. And she turned, and she come running right back to us. And you know what? It taught me a lesson as a little boy. You know, as long as you got good backup, you okay. You okay. But if you ever out there by yourself, you in trouble. You in trouble. The Holy Spirit gives us the ability to accomplish God's will. There's one final thing. One final thing. I want you to see not just our responsibility, not just our ability, but look in verse 23. It's where we started. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. Now the ESV says it this way, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld. The NIV says it this way, if you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. And the CSB puts the two together. The CSB says, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Here's the catch. If you don't dig in to that verse and understand where Jesus is coming from, you'll think you have the authority to forgive or not forgive sins. That's not the authority we've been given. What is the authority the church has been given? The authority is the gospel of Jesus Christ. I like that song J.W. we sang. It is always about Jesus. I'm sorry, in the chorus it says, I'm sorry for what I've made it. Not all about me. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. The forgiveness of sins comes through Jesus. Well, what's your point, Brother Joe? This is my point and I'm done. The point is to those who receive our gospel of Jesus Christ, their sins are forgiven. To those who refuse to hear our gospel of Jesus Christ. You might say, well, Brother Joe, why are you saying it that? Why are you saying our gospel? Because it is our story of Jesus that you and I have to tell. It is our gospel. Matthew had a gospel. Mark had a gospel. Luke had a gospel. John has a gospel. Paul talked about his gospel. Did you know that Three Rivers Fellowship has a gospel? We have a story about Jesus. We don't forgive or retain sins. We give them the gospel, and it is their response as to whether their forgiveness of sins takes place. You see, tonight, I didn't want to move away from this until we finished all of it. And there just absolutely wasn't time. When we got home, Penny said, well, Joe, I just figured you was going to cut it off at some point and just pick up the rest of it. And I didn't say anything because I didn't want her to know. That's exactly what I did. Because there is more to this text than what we tend to dig out in 20 minutes. You see, there is a responsibility for us to fulfill. We are given the ability to accomplish that responsibility. It comes through the authority of Jesus Christ. It is the gospel. The gospel that you and I hold on to. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's all stand. J.W., come. Let's have a song to sing. We'll be finished tonight. Brother, you need to hold that hand out sometime and I'll just reach out and I'll pull you up. Pull you up. Jesus paid it all. How appropriate. Amen.
I hear the singer say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Anybody got anything on your heart you want to say? Anybody? Keith, you got something?
Yeah, the guy in Florida wasn't far from being wrong, was he? When he took the guy talked about getting the garbage out with bare feet.
Kind of barefoot thing, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he wasn't far from being wrong. Yeah.
Praise God.
Amen. Anybody else? Has it been good to be in God's house today?
Amen.
I hope you were fed tonight. I know that as I studied to finish this, just struggling with the responsibility, the ability, and the authority that Jesus Christ gave us. I'm thankful for that. He never sends us to the patch to plow, but that he don't take care of us in the midst of it. Oh, by the way, I never got a whooping for that. I never got a whooping for running from a copperhead snake. Daddy was gracious, and we went to the patch. He checked out the rotor tiller, and then he looked at me and grinned. He said, "Boy, tomorrow's another day. You can get it tomorrow." And I did. I got it the next day. So it was good. Anybody else? All hearts and minds clear? Amen. Amen. I love you all. Thank you for being here tonight. Thank you. Penny, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this message that you've laid on our hearts, in our ears, in our minds, and in our beings today. The power that you give us through the church to follow Jesus and all the things that he provides for us to do. It's not an empty slate. It's not a map with no roads. It's just that you lay it out for us, Father. And tonight, as you've equipped us to do all these things, I pray that your Holy Spirit would remind each one of us what our task is and be each one would be willing to take that road, take that path, open that book for someone to just lift someone in prayer. Whatever, Father, you lay on us, our hearts to do, that we would follow you so that you would be pleased with each one of us. Thank you for each dear sister and brother that's here. Thank you for those that can't be here right now. And, Father, we ask that they would be back to join us.
Yes.
Please be with us this week before us as we go. In Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Yes, sir.
That next day, did you have shoes on and long pants?
Like it's
yes, sir.
Tonight. I don't
it's kind of like the first time I robbed my.